seat.
Stevie Johnson's going to fight him all the way up to the line. Who'll get there first? Kelly, I reckon. No, Johnson got it.
This is going to be Molly Taylor winning the first ever Extreme E X Prix. She crosses the line. She has done a fabulous job, and no wonder she is smiling.
The driver's seat.
It's McLaren and Ricciardo that win the Italian Grand Prix. Start the celebrations for McLaren.
The driver's seat with Matt McKeldin and Stephen Johnson for Kubota. For over 40 years, we've been making tomorrow matter, shaping and building Australia together.
Excellent job.
Oh, and there is so much to talk about in the world of motorsport, both internationally and at home. There's still 8 races left in Formula One for the year, but already the silly season for 2023 is in full swing. We'll touch on that a bit later, but first, let's get to our feature interview.
On your mark, ready, set, let's go. What a moment for this young bloke. He might topple a couple of the biggest names in the sport here. There's a whole bunch of things conspiring to take this away from him, but he is holding on. Out of the final corner for the last time.
Yes.
And a run down the front straight. And this is a mega moment for Will Brown. Congratulations. First ever supercar victory.
But Willie stands on there.
Shane Van Gisbergen goes up to congratulate him. Thumbs up from SVG, as this young bloke has been absolutely tremendous today.
Oh yes, that was some of the highlights from an absolutely balls out maiden win. And I'll tell you what, boys, don't you think that out of everyone on the grid, Will Brown is the only one on the planet that probably looks forward to going to Sydney Motorsport Park?
In short answer, yes, Imsy. No, it was good. It was good. I love the intro that you put there, Big Willie style. Great music. I think anytime you could be introed with Big Willie style, it's a good day.
Well, let's get the great man in. Please welcome back to the driver's seat, the one and only Will Brown.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me.
The Big Willie, Will Brown.
I've been referred to as that before. But,
You'll take it when you can get it.
Matt's just whinging because he doesn't have an intro like that. When I think you've got the grab that, Nimmy, every time Matt gets introed, it's something like Into the Wall with, what is it, Nimmy?
Into the Wall for Matt McKeldin.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah, thanks very much, boys. Good on you. Hey, Will, congrats not only on your efforts over the weekend at Taylor Bend, but the big news that you have recommitted, my friend. You are an Erebus driver for another 2 years because, I mean, let's be fair, there was a bit of conjecture and some rumours and innuendos flying around pit lane in the last couple of months as to where you might end up. So that puts pay to all that. And as I say, you're an Erebus boy for another 2 years.
Yeah, signed on the dotted line. So back for another 2 years. I think that continuity with myself, and it's awesome that Brody signed at the same time. It was something that me and him both wanted to continue together. And, it's fantastic to do that.
We always talk about, you know, contract stuff, and it always comes up this time of year. I know, speaking to you privately, you and your team and most other teams, or quite a few, usually leave it until around that September mark to do that sort of thing. Is that good for you now? Is that taking a bit of weight off your shoulders to then not have to worry about that, and you can just concentrate on what you're paid to do?
Yeah, I think so. I think obviously, it's probably a good thing when rumours are going around about you. Obviously, you're at during.
Depends on what
year,
sort of rumours, bro.
Yeah, that's true. I didn't think about that. No, but I just mean, obviously, off the back of last year, it was a great year. And, I'd like to think we've backed it up in somewhat, but probably hasn't been as good of a year. But, for us and myself and that, to have that after my first year, and that, obviously that rumours that people are interested, I think it's just great to have that, but then also to get locked away so early by Erebus and then want to continue this, and myself and Brody, what we're doing, I think it's just good to get that done early in the year so that, everyone in the team knows that what you're working for, and that's for the next 2 years to be the best team you can together. And, I guess, for a team, I guess if people think you're leaving and all that sort of stuff, it does change things maybe a little bit. So I think it's great to have that locked away early.
And I mean, let's be fair. It's a relatively small pit lane, our industry, full of rumour and innuendo. As you rightly say, that from a management point of view, I'd imagine you'd be wanting rumours going around. In reality, though, were you genuinely Was your management genuine? And you can, I don't think there's any reason to not be honest with this. Were you looking at your options? Because, of course, it's a short time that we're in this sport and you've got to make the best of the opportunities that you've got. Were you genuinely looking outside Erebus, but these guys were the best deal at the time, or was it always going to be Erebus and the other bits and pieces were just rumours?
Yeah, the other bits and pieces, like I say, were rumours. Obviously, as we know, Dick Johnson Racing do a fantastic job. Mm-hmm. They're right up the front, and obviously that would be an awesome team to race for. But also, I was extremely happy at Erebus. So there was a bit of confliction there at obviously the rumours, but that opportunity was never really available. So they were just rumours. For me, Erebus was the best option by far, and I'm extremely happy with continuing with them, and that's where I wanted to continue as well. So, like I say, it was probably just that these rumours were made, and then nothing sort of followed from that, which is how it sort of all happened. But like I say, it's great that for me, I was excited that Erebus really when they heard those. That sort of story, and it was only rumours that they sort of went, hey, we want to keep you, and Barry just implemented it, that saying that they do want to keep me, and that, and I think that's a big thing in a team signing for someone, is that, you know, if a team really wants you and is willing to do what it takes to secure you, I think that's a big thing for me moving forward.
Is it also one of those things too, Will, like, because they did put so much faith in you from pretty much day dot that you're in a supercar, like, the first time when you were a co-driver with Anton, you know, about 3 or 4 years ago, and the fact that nothing really much has changed at Erebus, like, in terms of stuff, like, I'm pretty sure, like, Steve, would the Erebus stuff still be the exact same as when you drove for them as well?
I think it's changed a fair bit since then. And when I was driving there, Barry was actually team manager principal of the GT team.
Right.
So it was post when I was there that he moved in and started obviously his role at the supercar headquarters. So I reckon it has changed quite a bit since I've been there. Obviously still speak to all the guys, you know, can still quite easily walk into their garage and not get kicked out, which is unusual considering my old man owns a team up and down pit lane, which is good, you know, and I still feel welcome there, you know, like I always go in and Baz always says, yeah, good day. And same, you know, Will's all right. Brody's pretty good. Betty and Daniel, they're all great. You know, like I still see and speak to quite a lot of the people there. So it's still I understand why Will wants to stay there, because it's actually, from what you see on the outside, what you see on those TV shows, yes, Barry wears his heart on his sleeve, but he's actually quite a good bloke. So I think that, what I've seen and what I'm sure Will and everybody else sees is a little bit different to what you see as reality.
Probably Barry 5% of the time, but you guys just see that on the TV all the time.
Last time we tried to call Barry, he was actually watching maths and didn't pick up the phone. And
he was.
That's right.
That's actually the truth.
And then the time before that, we actually had him on. He was actually in the E-Series and he was swearing and cursing and carrying on for someone had taken him out.
we talk about Barry Ryan and his emotion and sometimes gets away with him, gets him in a bit of trouble. I don't think he cares about that, by the way. I just think it happens. But, you know, when we were talking, when he was asked recently about both of you two, you and Brody, that there was a potential opportunities for you both to go elsewhere, He did a flat out Barry thing, Nimsy. I think straight out. Yeah. If you play it, Nimsy, you've got it there. This was a genuine heart on the sleeve, instant response to you two maybe being picked up by another team.
My honest opinion is, have some balls and do it yourself.
But you got
to
be.
That sounds like Barry.
You got to be pleased that a bloke like Barry that's been there for so long, that he's really, really wanting to fight to keep you below. It's like, no. Like, I know that these guys probably have so many other offers, but I want them in my team. I'll do anything to keep him in my team. Like, that's got to be pretty good as a driver.
But in a way, you can sort of, like, you can really respect what he's saying, that, you know, he has given two rookies a shot and has, really, you know, for us, giving us a massive opportunity to get into the sport and obviously shine last year with giving us good cars. So, I understand his frustration. It's always part of running a business down pit lane with this. And I'm excited to continue with the team and keep going.
You're a busy guy. There's not just supercars in your future. You're, in fact, out at Queensland Raceway this weekend with TCR in the Audi, not the Hyundai that you won the championship in a couple of years ago. How have you found TCR, having gone away and now come back? Different championship, more mature as a championship, getting more popularity, trickier,
different
more
car
difficult.
Too.
Different. You're ninth. Yeah. I know that you're ninth in the series at the moment, so that either tells me that the car isn't where you wanted it to be, or the competition has gone to another level, or both.
Wheels driving styles changed quite a bit to adapt to the supercar too. So there's things there as well.
It's a bit of an oddball year. Like, I still feel like we've had the pace, but I've had I think two DNFs now, and then another race where I got turned around when it lapped down. So I've sort of pretty much had three last place finishes. So, you know, heading into Sydney, we're in second place in the championship. If we didn't break a shock and get a DNF there, we're probably, you know, second or first in the championship after there. So I just feel like there's been so much bad luck for a fair few people in the championship this year that it's just like, you know, you have one bad race or one DNF and that puts you from second to ninth in the championship. So I'm hoping we have a better finish to the end of the year, but I probably would say that we haven't been as strong as I've wanted to. I feel like I can always qualify sort of in the top three or four, but our race pace hasn't been there. Probably struggling a little bit with the Audi with understeer. You know, late in the race, it just builds so much understeer on where I never experienced that in 2019. So just trying to learn how to drive around that a little bit and how we can set the car up a little bit more to how I would like it to be. And, you know, we're fortunate enough to have a test day at Ipswich last week, which I haven't done a test day in the Audi all year. So I think we found some good gains there, and hopefully that heads through to the race pace and shows a bit.
Mate, do you think, obviously you're in P9 and you said that, and it's in quite a few other championships this year, if you have a DNF, it really can drop you back a long way, and there's not that much gap between each position to gain those points back. Tony D'Alberto is doing a pretty good job up the front. They're very consistent. I don't even think he's won a race.
He hasn't won anything.
No, he hasn't.
But, you know, can you catch him, Will? Like, I mean, if he keeps doing that and keeps finishing where he's finishing, can you catch him?
Yeah, I'm not sure if I can catch him. I haven't even had a look at the points just yet to sort of witness that. I'm sort of just looking at trying to win races, really. But I think it's anyone's game. Like, there's been four rounds, and like I say, I've pretty much had three DNFs. So who knows what Tony could happen to Tony in the last bit. But I think they're putting out stats recently, and like, my average finish is ninth, his average finish is like 6.8, and he's leading the championship now. That's very rare. Like, you know, they might be 18 in TCR, but 6.8 to be leading the championship, I don't think you would have seen that in the championship for a long time.
And I don't think has he had any DNFs this year, Tony?
No.
From memory?
No, he hasn't.
And you look behind him, there's Dylan O'Keefe, Josh Buck and Geordie Cox, Jay Hansen, Aaron Cameron, Nathan Morecambe, Zach Suter, and then you. From memory, every single one from second to seventh and eighth, they've all had at some point a DNF. And that's why he's, with that average finishing spot of six something or other, he's been able to jump in the lead. It's going to be good at Queensland Raceway this weekend. I'm going to be heading out there. Stevie J, you're going to be there as well. Is it typically a good place for you, Will? Because we haven't seen much necessarily racing from you in recent times, maybe in Super 2 at QR, but because of COVID and situations and all that kind of stuff, we haven't seen you much at QR. Is it a place you enjoy driving at?
Yeah, I actually enjoy doing laps there, but surprisingly, it being my home track, it's probably, like you said, the place I've driven least. So, I've raced there in Formula Ford and Super 2 and all that and had good results and, done a bit of testing there and production cars. So, I think we won't have a drama there on the weekend. I think the test days have been a help for us, and hopefully that just converts into some results for the weekend.
So let's look forward. Let's look forward to, because, I mean, let's be fair, that the Supercars Championship is probably out of reach for everyone except for SVG this year. So let's look to the next big thing that we all love, which is Mount Panorama. Bathurst coming up, paired with Jack Perkins this year, which is cool. Jacko's a pro, and I reckon will sits well within your team. Has he had a chance to drive the car this year at any ride days or test days or any of that sort of stuff?
Yeah, I think he's driven it once, and then we've got, we'll obviously have the main test day with the co-drivers coming up, but I believe he's driven it, yeah.
And feedback from that, was he confident, felt good, or, yep, all good, see you later, I'm going home?
I don't think Jacko lacks any confidence. But, he's great. He's very, he's not high maintenance at all. He's pretty solid and knows what he's capable of. And, you know, he I think he just does a great job as a co-driver. So obviously last year, I don't think he really got to showcase that with obviously the power steering failure early in the stint. But yeah, I feel like he would have done a good job. And you know, last year at Bathurst, probably the most disappointed I've ever been at a motor event, to be honest. Like, you know, after coming in so strong and all that, and sort of I think it's my fourth or fifth year race Bathurst and haven't really finished one yet. So, yeah, I was a little bit disappointed last year. But, you know, I think when it all clicks, it'll be a good one.
Hey, are you going to just be slightly maybe praying when he jumps in your car for his first stint that he gets around a lap? for everyone that don't know, Jacko had a bit of a minor bingle in the GT car on his outlap in the rain on slicks, probably still in the dark because Will didn't want to stay in the car.
Oops.
So let's. Are you going to sit there and just maybe watch the first lap?
Nah, I think I'll go to the motorhome and just let him wait to hear the news. Nah, I'm joking. He'll be fine.
Hey mate, looking for like you've had a drive of the Gen 3 Camaro. It's what do you think? Different? Is it going to be hard? Is it going to be much harder than the cars currently are to drive? Is it going to throw a spanner in the works for some people? What's your thoughts on it? I mean, I know they're going to be developed way more than what they currently are now when you do get to drive them properly. But at the moment, are they a difficult car to drive?
Yeah, I probably don't have a huge view on them right now only because, you know, the last time I think I drove it was November, December last year. Yeah. So sort of back then, they didn't have the roll bars in them, the right, you know, motor in them and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, since then, the amount of development on them has been crazy. Like, I know Brody has tested them more recently and even just the times he was telling me that they're doing compared to we were back then. Maybe it's just better than me, I don't know. But, yeah, the times around Ipswich and all that. So it sounds like the development's going great on them. I think just, you know, as a team, and I've experienced it since stepping up into the main game, you know, when I was probably, I'm still young, but I guess in Super 2, I didn't realise that you could build all these new parts with uprights, cross members, all this sort of stuff, and try and design new stuff throughout this period. And I think it's just going to take that out of it where, you know, we've all got the same stuff. It's just from their tuning. And I think that'll, you know, not take the guessing work out of it, but take some of the inconsistencies in the teams and make it a little bit easier for, you know, a team that might be right now, I don't know, down further down pit lane to be a bit more consistent, or a driver that you know, is quite good in trying to show himself but not always in the best team, he can get good results. So I think it'll make it a bit more interesting and not just every weekend the same guys winning.
Yeah, and are you going to get another crack in it, like just to see the difference since you drove it last in December? Are you going to get another run this year?
Yeah, I'm sure I am. I think obviously they've got a lot of drivers to filter through, so they gave a lot of guys a go over in Tail and Bend. So I'm sure I'll get asked to do another run soon, and it's pretty cool to see our chassis coming along as well, and all the stuff starting to really, you know, you can see the Gen 3 coming alive, and it's awesome that they obviously picked to keep with the stick shift, and I believe that's making it feel more like the current supercar we have with the transaxle and all that. So, yeah, I think it'll just be, you know, just a different sort of what we have now. It'll be very much the same sort of feeling, but just less aero and a little bit different.
Well, you've been very, very generous with your time so far for us, mate. Chuffed to see you and Brody stick with Erebus for the future. Go well this weekend at QR, and good luck for Sandown too in a couple of weeks as well. But cheers for jumping on the driver's seat.
No, thanks for having me, guys.
This is the driver's seat for Kubota. For over 40 years, we've been making tomorrow matter, shaping and building Australia together.
It's great to have your company on the driver's seat. And a big thank you to Will Brown for giving us a big chunk of his time. Can't wait to see what he does at QR this weekend. But remember, you can rev up your smartphone with the driver's seat app. It's available in the App Store. Let's look at the weekend that's just gone by at the Bend Super Sprint. First off, we've got to quickly mention how awful was it seeing Tommy Randall and Andre Heimgartner just absolutely collide on the Sunday?
It was no good.
No good.
No good. And calls now into question the light that's on the dashboard, letting everybody know that there's a stalled car on the grid. Oh, it's a really hard one because when you take off from a start, Nimsy, as Steve would know, you're not just looking ahead. You're looking left. You're looking right. You're looking at who's around you, particularly if you haven't got a good start. Maybe if you've had a great start, you keep looking around because you're always looking to dive into a spot. When you're doing 120K an hour in, you know, 150 feet and there's someone stopped in front of you, boy, it takes lightning reactions to try and miss that. And we've seen it before. It was hard to watch. But it was better to watch than Carl Reindler a couple of years ago, you know, with these new generation cars with the fuel tank being forward of the rear axles. We avoided that particular instance that we saw with Carl. But, I just don't think two great blokes, big accident, and two written off cars. I don't think anyone wants to see. And a delayed start, and nobody wants to see that, Stevie J. It was pretty hectic.
It was pretty hectic. And, you know, I spoke to Tommy yesterday, and a lot of people are saying from the footage that Andre could have probably missed him. Like there was, you know, when you look at the view from the pit building down, it looked like there was a big gap between Holdsworth, who went to the left, and I can't remember who went to the right, but then Andre come through the middle and hit Tom. Mm. Tom told us that he saw Andre's footage, and there was not a chance in hell that he was going to miss him. There's no way. He could not have done anything else. So, and I agree, you know, they're top of second gear, pulling third gear. You know, you've got to remember, first gear is 110 kilometres an hour. Mm. So I think he hit him at 140 or 50K an hour, something like that, you know. So it's still, that's pretty decent. And when you're going that speed and you are, like you said, Matty, looking left, right, trying to, you know, judge wherever, and you're in the right behind someone, all of a sudden they dart left and right together. All of a sudden you've got this stationary car in front of you. It comes up pretty fast at 150K an hour.
Yeah, absolutely. But again, a credit to the current supercar, no matter what opinion you have of it, that's the sort of accident that in the past people would have been potentially quite hurt in.
Yeah.
So for both of the boys to get out.
Did its job, kept them safe.
It did it. It absolutely did its job, Nimsy. Absolutely. Mm. Those boys got out, went to hospital, strapped up, and see you later.
Another big talking point of obviously we'll get into SVG taking a clean sweep of the races when we do our power rankings. But on the Saturday, Tickford Racing wildcard Zach Best, an absolute shock to get an arm roll pole position.
Zach Best, so good.
What that a ball terror!
So good.
What a ball terror!
The best part about that was, so like supercars media normally do a great job where it's like, you know, literally seconds after the thing's done, they always have a graphic up for arm roll, pole position, winner, da da da. It took them about 15 minutes before they got a graphic.
They're going through the photo files looking for the kid.
Let's get into it in a bit more in depth with our power rankings.
This is the driver's seat power rankings.
So very simple. It is basically a Dally M or Brownlow medal. The power rankings, it's a 3-2-1 vote given by Matt and Steve. The current standings at the moment before the trip to Tailwind Bend, SVG comfortably on top with 23 votes in P1. 11 votes in P2 is Will Davison. Sharing the third step of the podium is Cameron Waters and Will Davison again. I better get rid of that one. Just Cam Waters. It's just you, Cam. Don't worry about it.
It's all about you, Cam.
And then to follow, 7 votes for Davey Reynolds, 6 votes for Chaz Mostert, 5 votes for both James Courtney and Gary Jacobson.
Nice, Gary!
That's good. That's the only time we get it now that Gary's been given the Tijuana.
Exactly.
That's the only time we get it is when we do the points. So thank you for that, Nimmy.
We might get it back at Bathurst. I'm sure he's going to get a seat somewhere.
You'd have to think he would, wouldn't you? Mm.
If I was a certain forklift driving team owner, I'd be on the phone quick smart to Sheppo. But anyway.
Oh, good old Sheppo.
But 4 votes to Brock Feeney and Tom Hazelwood.
I'd give him the forks.
2 votes to Lee Holdsworth.
If he rang you.
Andre Heimgartner and Chris Pither. And 1 vote to Anton, Brody Kostecki, Tim Slade, and Nick Perkat. We'll start off with you, Matty. Who gets you 3-2-1?
Well, look, I am going to give Zach Best 1 point for that, which I think will put him on the board.
Yeah, first time.
That puts him on the board. Well done, Zach. Yep. It's such a boring list, but I'm going to have to give Cam Waters 2 points and I'm going to give SVG 3. The reason is because Cam was consistent again across the weekend, but SVG obviously brained them all, cleaned them up. So he gets him a 3. But the driving masterclass that both Cam and SVG put on in that wet race for how many laps? 15? Was some of the best skills in motor racing I have ever seen.
24,
was it?
Yep.
Those boys were undering and overing. They were passing each other. They were finding grip. They were braking late, braking early. They had to go to the race driver toolbox, Stevie J, and grab every single one of the tools that they had to be able to get those things around and put on a show. Take away your team allegiances, take away your driver allegiances, paint both of those cars in black and put those boys on it. They put on an absolutely outstanding display of car racing.
Cam seems to be the only one that can sort of, at the moment, sort of take it to SVG, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think we've all said that we think that Cam's probably better than his car at the moment. I think if you put Cam in Brock Feeney's car, not to say anything about Brock because he's a rookie in his first year, but if you were to take the two 888 cars and put SVG and Cam Waters in it, it would be unbelievable racing every single weekend between two teammates. Those two displayed an unbelievable quality of racing, so they get my three and they two. And, I mean, let's be real, SVG's headed for the showers.
Yeah.
Like, he's
He's done.
He's
probably finished in the shower.
Oh, mate, I was on the hot lap.
Yeah, you were. Meanwhile, let's
That's farcial.
Anyway.
Exactly.
That is farcial.
Let's get to Stevie's 3-2-1. Stevie, who you got?
All right, I'm going to give 1 point to Zach Best as well. Exactly the same for you, Matty.
Yep.
He's got just more votes than Nick Percat this
exactly
year.
Exactly right, yes.
Well, he's been further up the grid than poor old Nick.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's true.
Harsh.
Just a great job. Just honestly, yeah. just a bloody pole position, mate. Seriously. Like, you know what I mean? It's only his second main game start as a rookie. So really, really cool. Love seeing that. Just really spiced it up a bit, and I loved how he had to make the supercar staff run and, you know, work out how they're going to get the pole position banner from either Monster Energy or Red Bull and run it right down the other end of pit lane. And then they had to extend their camera cables because they don't normally go down that far either. So I reckon Zach Best 1 point.
That's very
bold.
Yeah, well, it's true. 2 points. For SVG. 2 points for Tim Slade.
Oh, the Slade dog.
Got some news about him. We'll talk about that.
Reason being, he obviously hasn't got a handle of that car in qualifying at this stage. He did at the start of the year, but not right now. But passed the most cars all weekend. He passed 26 cars over. He passed the whole field in a bit in three races.
Wow.
So really good, solid racing for him, and obviously good teamwork, good pit stops to be able to allow him to do that. Mm-hmm. And SVG 3 points because he is just on another planet at the moment.
Yeah, and
has been for quite a while.
With no apparent answer, no one's got an answer at the moment. They can throw a punch. They can land a punch on the odd occasion.
Yep,
but there's no one out there. That's
notable mention though from me to Cam about Cam Waters, because you're right. I just haven't got enough points in my bag to give him because you know, it's the racing that you said was unbelievable. You know, and just his fight. You know, when SVG belted him up the backside in race two on the start, even though the start got Tommy Randall'd and Heimgartner'd. But just the fight in him to block SVG, to really take it to him, I love watching it. So, Cam, I'll give you some decent points, hopefully, the next round. I'll save some for you, brother.
There we go. Some for Sandown will come your way there, Cam. But that wraps up our power rankings. Plenty more to get through on the driver's seat because the world has gone absolutely bonkers in Formula 1. And we'll touch on that in just a moment here on the driver's seat. Thanks to Kubota. Together, we are shaping and building Australia.
This is the driver's seat for Kubota. For over 40 years, we've been making tomorrow matter, shaping and building Australia together.
Welcome back to the driver's seat. We do it thanks to Kubota. Together, we are shaping and building Australia. It is time to talk about F1. It's like the national anthem, isn't it? Everyone just stands.
Absolutely. It's not one that you listen to and go, oh, God,
Yeah.
This is terrible. It's a stand-up opera.
Now, you want to talk about dominoes falling in a heap. When Sebastian Vettel put out the announcement that he was going to retire at the end of the season, and a stellar career, I should point out, too, four-time world champion as well, and one of the doesn't he have like a Rain Man sort of ability to name every single championship winner for like the last three decades or something?
He's done a few things, has our Seb, and yes, very smart cat. At 34, I think he is, 34 or 35.
Are you serious?
Got a very, very good memory and is a bit of a student of the sport is and he? All that sort of stuff, yeah.
So Seb goes and announces that he will retire at the end of the season, and then all of a sudden...
It is on everywhere and he spot fires all over the place.
Yep, because it was announced that two-time world champion Fernando Alonso will extend his Formula One career by joining Aston Martin in place of the retiring Vettel, and then we all got excited. Pretty much the entire continent of Australia basically said, Oscar Piastri gets the call up because he's the reserve driver. It makes sense, right?
Yes. But I think that's the thing. Like I put up on my socials before it was announced, Alonso gone, Piastri to Alpine.
So I woke up and it was Piastri, Alpine announces that Oscar Piastri will sign for such and such. Da, da, da,
yes.
Da. By 5 in the morning, Oscar put out a statement saying, I understand, without my agreement, Alpine F1 have put out a press release late this afternoon that I'm driving with them next year. That is wrong. I have not signed a contract with Alpine for 2023. What on earth is going on here?
Well, I think the bigger knock-on question to that, Nimsy, is that the belief is now that Oscar will be going to McLaren, which then puts Dan Ric in jeopardy because it wouldn't be Lando that's leaving. So where does that... land Dan Ricciardo, ironically, possibly back at Alpine. So there's two instances of this contract stuff, Steve, that have been going on in the last month or so, a couple of weeks, and both of them ironically include McLaren, because over in the United States, last year's IndyCar champion Alex Palou is in the middle of a contract and going to the High Court in the United States in the middle of a contract dispute with McLaren and Chip Ganassi Racing. Chip says that they put an option on him and he came out and exactly like Piastri did and said, I believe Chip Ganassi has
jumped the gun,
said that I'm racing with them next year, but I'm not. And then McLaren came out and said, hey, we've secured Palou. So that's all now going to court. And now it looks as though there is questions about Dan Ric and his contract next year, which everyone has stood in front of the camera, Stevie J, and said, oh, yeah, yeah, oh, yeah, he's here for next year. And Dan keeps going, oh, yeah, I'm good for next year too. And yet now it all looks like it's gone to the dogs.
It's so farcical, isn't it? Like, I can't believe how much drama there's been around this sort of thing where there's obviously fighting going on between drivers and teams, teams thinking that they've got the driver thinking that they can get out or whatever it might be. And I was just trying to
it's hard to piece together, isn't it? Like,
I'm just trying to find Marcus Ericsson put out a post that was actually quite cool. And it was about, here it is here. I'm just going to read it out. It says, After Alonso's middle finger to Alpine switch, this is how the rest of the F1 silly season will play out. This is from Marcus Ericsson.
When was this published?
Only today or yesterday.
Okay.
All right. It says, Alpine, Ocon and Gasly.
Ooh.
AlphaTauri, Schumacher and Tsunoda.
Okay.
McLaren, Norris and Piastri. Alfa Romeo, Bottas and Joe Brand New. Williams, Albon and De Vries.
Oh, yes. Current reserve driver for Mercedes-Benz.
And Haas, Magnussen and Ricciardo. That's what he reckons.
And he put that out literally, so the 2nd of August he put that out. So it's pretty fresh. And then he followed up with a, well.
Ta-da. Do you reckon though, because someone posed a question to me, do you reckon Alonso was pushed or do you reckon Alonso gave the middle finger to Alpine? I've got the feeling that if Alpine thought that they had Piastri locked in for a 23 seat, they've sat down with Alonso and Alonso's gone, see ya. And then with the news that Seb has retired, he's gone, you know what? I'll go over there.
Mm. I reckon that's probably pretty close to the mark.
I reckon that's pretty close to the mark too.
Yep.
And then, but in the background.
But in the background, Piastri's done
Mark
a deal
Webber
with
and Piastri.
With McLaren possibly.
And about to boot Dan Ricciardo, who could either go to Alpine, essentially, because they currently now look like they don't have a driver. Haas, if they do decide to give the Tijuana brass to Schumacher, he could slide in there, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I don't think Danny would go to Williams. Like, that's smoking motherless last. Why would you do it? Why wouldn't you just go home and sit on your boatloads of money?
Mm.
Or maybe go racing in IndyCar or like Ericsson or something like that. So, look, two things, Nimsy. It's fascinating. It's fascinating what's going on over there. I don't hold any weight in any contract at the moment. And the only people that are going to win from all of this will be, as usual, the lawyers. Like, it'll be lawyers at 10 paces on this one about who's got the right and restriction of trade. And but same thing, with IndyCar and Palou and Ganassi and McLaren.
The thing is, I get what Ganassi is, and they're probably trying to plan for the future. But why would you want to fight for someone so hard that doesn't want to be with you?
Oh, you're absolutely spot on there. This actually makes zero sense. There is so much going on. And to think it all started with Sebastian Vettel just saying, nope, that's enough for me. You're listening to The Driver's Seat. We do it thanks to Kubota. Together, we are shaping and building Australia. Big bit of news for Touring Car Masters. We'll talk about that next.
This is The Driver's Seat for Kubota. For over 40 years, we've been making tomorrow matter, shaping and building Australia together.
It's A Driver's Seat, and we do it thanks to Kubota. Together, we are shaping and building Australia. Big thank you to Will Brown for jumping on board. So as I was perusing through the world of motorsport news and whatnot, I happened to notice that a name popped up, and it was just like, and all I can think of was just
Steve Johnson getting amongst it.
Because I saw that Stephen Johnson will be returning to Touring Car Masters and in a Mustang.
Yes, that's correct.
All is currently right in the world.
Look at this. That's correct.
Everything is back to normal.
Well, what's not right is that I was actually going to give the driver's seat a scoop in the coming week or so, but it just got
away from you.
No, not from me. It didn't get away from me at
got
all.
Got from someone.
Did a certain auto magazine spring into action and break an embargo like they've done?
I don't think they broke an embargo. I think they had an off-the-cuff discussion with Russell Hancock, who actually owns the car that I'm driving, and they couldn't help themselves.
Tell me, good thing? Good car?
Yeah. Yep,
good car. It was been shaken down by John Bauer in the last 48 hours?
Yep. It's
feedback?
It's
good thing?
It's the car that obviously Cam Mason's raced, a beautiful-looking British Racing green and silver Mustang. It was built by Marty Brandt down in Melbourne. Yeah, it's certainly a good car. It's got a good engine. I think it needs a bit of work in the suspension area. JB's, because he's obviously Melbourne-based, doing some testing for me. There needs to be a few little changes made to the car, I think, to make it faster in I wouldn't say in my terms, but what I think it needs to be a better car.
To suit your driving and be a better car?
No, not suit my driving, just to be a better car.
Okay.
So hopefully we can get that stuff done before Sandown. And, well, hopefully it'll be Steve Johnson getting amongst it.
Yeah, that's fantastic because, like,
I think that's
we've had a lot of people on our Facebook page and you can scroll. It almost seems like every week there's someone going, Steve! what's going on with TCM? Just fundamentally, because a lot of people will be like, have romanticizing a little bit, like, oh, it's Steve back in a Mustang. That's what he wants, these three titles. It'll be like it's not like for like with Sally, is it? It's completely different.
It is a totally different car. So we'll have our work cut out. Obviously getting it right, and hopefully, at the moment, those Tiranas up the front are literally just bullets.
Hansford and Bow.
Yeah, it's the car to have at the moment. The 5 litre car, which you're allowed to run quite a bit lighter than a big block car, so a 6 litre car. But the thing is now that they're getting just as much power or there or thereabouts out of those 5 litre cars as you're getting out of a 6 litre car. So really the advantage of having a 6 litre car now, which is that horsepower, is really null and void. So it's certainly going to make it tough. Everything goes through swings and roundabouts. We've seen, back in the Group A era, sometimes it was, the Sierra went through its era and all that sort of thing. Well, at the moment, the lighter, more nimble, small block V8s are other car to have in TCM.
And why aren't the Masons driving it? Why are you getting a run? How did it all come about?
I believe Cam's going on a bit of a family holiday around Australia, I believe.
Yeah.
Taking a bit of time off, which is cool.
Yeah.
And it actually came about chatting with John Bow after the ARG event down in Sydney.
Mm-hmm.
And we were obviously down there with Jet Racing, and then I had to go back down there and do some work. So saw JB there at the hotel, and we were just chatting away, and he goes, "Oh, I need to get you back in." And I'm like, "Yeah, that'd be cool." And he says, "I've got a bit of an idea. This could be available. Let me give Russell a call." And he didn't. And Russell's like, "Yep, love the idea. Let's do it."
And will we see other, will it be as we see it now, just a green and silver car? Is it going to have sponsors all over it, or is it?
Yep, absolutely. Yep. Yeah, it's the good thing with that is Russell's allowed me to put some of my sponsors on it.
Good.
So you'll see the good old Kubota on there.
Good.
You'll see the pretty much everything, or most, bar naming rights, basically, on it, which is Russell is obviously helping with regard to the running of the car and everything. So, we'll sticker it up, get some of the Team Johnson sponsors another run, and finish off the year with Sandown, Bathurst, and the Adelaide race.
Yeah, nice one.
That'll be really good.
You're racing with Jet this weekend at Queensland Raceway.
Yes, let's quickly talk
Trans Am.
About that. This is a track that, well, he pretty much know like the back of his hand, wouldn't he?
Oh, I wouldn't say the back of your hand, but he's done some laps around there, which is great. But it should be interesting. It'd be good. I think a lot of the teams came up and did a 2-day test of recent times only a week and a half ago. We didn't partake in that 2-day test. It would have been good to be able to do some laps there. But, we went out and did sort of a half a day shakedown and a few laps. And, he's got basically 2 weekends coming up this weekend for the Trans Am Championship. And then in 2 weeks' time, he's running in the TA2 Championship up there as well. So we've got a couple of weeks up there. And in between, he's doing the Hyundai XL Enduro there as well.
Yeah,
so
beauty.
So he's got three weekends at QR. So we'll see how he goes. But, yeah, we're pretty keen to do a good job and, be a bit closer to the front. Although he's just, he's sort of within that top 10 of Trans Am. I'd like to see him a bit further at the front there. It's a very tough championship that Matty knows about. You've got some great young guys in there, and the more he drives with those guys, the more he's learning.
Mm.
What's going to be very cool to see too is because it is obviously your home track, Stevie, you'll probably get a lot of Team Johnson fans that'll be rocking up to show a lot of support. I assume DJ and Julie and your sister will probably be there as well too, so it'll be good to see a nice big crowd there to support young Jet along. And the best part too, I just saw this on their website. There's actually going to be TV coverage on 9Go as well.
Yeah,
which is very cool.
Absolutely.
Very cool. So, he's got obviously this weekend with all of us there, and then in 2 weeks' time, there's going to be hardly any of us there because we're all going to be down at Sandown doing duties down there. Dad's going to be down there because he's got a big Shell function to do down there at the Sandown Supercars round. I'll be down there doing TCM and Toyota 86.
I'll look after him.
You can go up there and look after him, Matty. Paul Forgey will be down there.
Oh, well, Paul will probably do a better job than me.
Paul's going to be at Supercars.
Oh, Paul's going to be at Supercars.
So he won't have his engineer there, right?
Mate, I'll have to go down and cut some oranges.
You're going to have to, but please don't go near his computer.
I won't do that.
Well, that is it from us, and we'll catch you next week right here on the driver's seat.